Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. And today we're going back to good niche, bad niche. We're going to debate a high ticket dropshipping niche. And we kind of started talking about this before we hit record, and John was coaching me on this. So I was like, just let's start over. Let's record this. So this idea came to me. You might see it in the thing. It says ice machines, right? So this idea came to me, I don't even know, 2017, I think I started. I think I have a domain around like, you know, icemachinesdirect.myshop, something like that, right? And I don't have the URL anymore, but I still have the store in my developer account. And I got a message on it the other day. And it made me think about this. And prior to that, I saw a business for sale that was like, and I'll just use Ice Machine. It was something different. But let's say icemachineadvice.com was on a brokerage. It got hit by the helpful content update, which is what Google rolls out every so often and destroys people's livelihoods. This one got destroyed. And they were like, make an offer. And so I started thinking. I was like, man. Given my SEO skills, I would crush on a site like this where you only have one product. The SEO is incredibly easy, or it is for me, and I think I could share that with anybody listening. Why not start a site just like that? What if I started an Ice Machines Direct or whatever I owned before? While we were talking, it's still available. What's stopping me from making a choice like that? And I know students come to you, John. John does all of the niche verification emails, by the way. When you sign up, you get a free email saying, hey, here's where I've landed after taking the first few modules of the course. What do you think, John? Should I go this direction or go this direction? John answers every single one of those emails. And so he started answering me as if I was a classic student asking this question. I said, we have to record this. So, John, here I am, Joe Bag of Donuts, student number three. I'm thinking ice machines, John, and I really like the domain icemachinesdirect.com. What do you think?
Yeah, so... you're right. It is something we get often. We get it often because other people who talk about high ticket dropshipping online recommend that you do this, and they're wrong straight out of the gate, which is number one reason you shouldn't listen to them. So we would call this like a single product category store or a single product niche, right? Like I'm going after one type of product, ice machines. Now, in and of itself, that can work up until a point. So I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, that won't work. You can't make any money doing that. You absolutely can make money. And you're right. Ben would probably kill this from an SEO perspective. Very easy to get the ads up and running on it as well. Know what keywords you're targeting there, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So the advantage of this type of site or this approach to high ticket dropshipping is that it's very simple. It's very straightforward. You can get it up and running pretty quick. So those are definitely things in its favor. And you will make some sales for sure with this approach. I'm not going to lie. You absolutely will. However, when building a business, I think it's important to think about not what's going to happen in the next 3 months or 6 months. Where are you going to be in a year? Where are you going to be in 2 years? What do you want to be able to do? Do you want to be able to build an eight-figure business? Do you want to be able to build a business that's bigger than that? Do you want a business that's going to stand the test of time, right? Because if the answer to those questions is yes, and I believe it should be, it is for me, right? Then the single product niche or the single category niche doesn't make sense, right? Here's why it doesn't make sense. So instantly that type of business is very easy to replicate. So somebody can just walk in and basically rip your whole store off in about 2 seconds, get the same suppliers, run the same ads, and start undercutting you very, very quickly because it's easy to work out what's working for you, or it's much easier to work it out, right? So you are more susceptible to competition. And we saw this in niches like electric bikes, which got pumped really hard by a bunch of gurus. They were like, everybody should go out and start electric bike stores because electric bikes are killing it. And instantly, there were like 52 at one point, over 100 stores that were all just replications of each other, selling like e-bikes direct, e-bikes online, electric bikes paradise, blah, blah, blah. They were all just exactly the same. Same suppliers selling one category of product, and none of them made any money aside from our man, John Murphy, who took a completely different approach and did make money, right? The rest of them, like, they all struggled. They struggled so hard for so long. What a waste of time. So that's the first reason. The second reason is that, thinking about the ice machine example, one of the biggest customers for ice machines is going to be restaurants. Businesses that are involved in food preparation, catering businesses, cafes, these sorts of things. And so when you start talking about commercial kitchens, there are instantly, I can probably list off at least 20 other product high ticket product categories that that customer, the person who's managing that commercial kitchen, is going to buy or could buy from you. So why the hell would you not sell those products as well? Like, why say, go? Imagine going to that person and you're like, hey man, want to buy an ice machine? They're like, yeah, I do. But I also need a commercial griddle or a flat top or something like that. Do you got that? And you're like, oh, nah, man, sorry, I don't got that. I just got the ice machines. And they're like, well, this guy over here that I've had contact with as well, he can supply my whole kitchen for me. Why the fuck am I buying from you? Like, literally, answer that question. Why would that? Customers don't want to have to go to five different stores to get all their bits and pieces and have it come from five different places and spend all that time when they can just go and get it in one place, right? They don't want to. It's a particularly business-to-business customers. Business owners do not have time. That's their biggest problem. They don't have enough time to do all the stuff they want to do. So when you run a single product category store, you're basically saying, I care about me. I don't care about you. Go and find the other shit you need somewhere else, cunt. And so waste your time, right? You don't want to do that. It's not going to work out for you in the long term. But you're also avoiding one of the three basic ways you grow any business. There are just three ways to grow any business. First one, you acquire more first-time customers. Second one, you increase your average order value. Third one, you increase your rate of repeat business. So if you sell one product category, you cannot increase your average order value very easily, right? Because if your concept is, well, instead of selling one ice machine, I'm going to sell two $5,000 ice machines. No, you're not going to do that often. And three, the third one, it's very hard to increase your rate of repeat business. You will have a little bit of repeat business, but like, you're not going to be pumping people the same person every 6 months. Hey man, come and buy another ice machine. The one you bought from last time still works fine because it's got a 10-year warranty, but come and buy another one anyway. Like, it's not going to happen. But you could go and say, hey, you bought an ice machine 6 months ago. What do you need for your kitchen now? Oh yeah, yeah, I need this, this, and this. Oh cool, I sell that. Let's do a deal, right? Easy. And so that one customer that you paid to acquire once, rather than being worth a few thousand dollars for the ice machine, is now worth $20,000 for all the other stuff. And the profit on that is insane, right? So why would you put yourself in a position that you can't do that intentionally? Why would you intentionally choose to be in that position? It doesn't make any logical sense. And if you're thinking, well, I'll start with ice machines, call myself Ice Machines Direct, and I'll expand later. But once again, why? Like, build your business around the concept of what you want to be, not what you're going to be tomorrow, right? Another reason why this doesn't make sense is that your business is in like a really precarious position. So if you're selling one product category, you're maybe going to have like 10 suppliers for that, maybe 15. There'll probably be only one or two, maybe three suppliers that sell really well for you. So if anything happens to those suppliers and you don't have other product categories with other suppliers that you sell, your business is screwed overnight. Like, you're gone, you're wiped out. And if you got to a place where you were making say 100K a month in sales or 200K a month in sales and that goes overnight, trust me, you're going to feel like shit because you probably quit your job. You probably, all of your bills depend on this, and you built a business that has like single points of failure, which once again is something you should never do. Or what if something happens to the popularity of ice machines? What if something replaces them? Once again, your business is screwed overnight. Now, that doesn't happen often. I get it, but it can happen. I've seen it happen.
the brand right? side happens, right? Like we encountered that. We bought back my old business. We wanted to use it to show our students, and the best brand of all of them got acquired. And the people who acquired him, the hedge fund, was like, we don't need anyone else selling this. We're going to sell it ourselves instantly. It's over. That's rare, but it does happen, right? And, you know, certainly if you're locked into one category, that could really, really hurt. Whereas like if you have a person behind the screen, you're selling to six people and, six different categories, like a restaurant, there's going to be way more than six, right? And you lose one in one, it's not, you know, it's going to be a dent in your car, not a totaled vehicle.
Yeah. If you've been getting tons of value from the podcast and you want to learn more about high ticket dropshipping and interact with a fantastic community of high ticket dropshippers, we've got a free Facebook group that you can join right now today. So if you head over to Facebook and search for Dropship Breakthrough, you'll see a Facebook come up that has on the end of it, High Ticket Dropshipping Mastery for New Entrepreneurs. Hit the join button. You'll get into the group. We do group only trainings in there, and there's thousands of other people who are going through the high ticket dropshipping journey that you can look for support from, ask questions, and find out if high ticket dropshipping is for you. Yeah. And so to summarize that extended rant, and I hope people enjoyed that. it just doesn't make sense to, like, I get the attraction of building a really simple store and a really simple business. I totally get it. And like I say, I'm not going to pretend that it wouldn't work to an extent, but you have to take a bit of a longer term thought and think, like, where do I want to be? Like, I think people get too often when they're building a business, get stuck focusing on like just the next step. And they're like, how do I make the quick money in the next month or two? Cause I feel like I need to make that, right? They're not thinking about like, where do I really want to be? What do I want to be able to do in the future? Like, I want to have it like, if all you want to do is start a little side hustle and you want, that's as far as you ever want to go with it, right? I want an extra $1,000 a month or something like that. Then maybe a single product category thing is the right answer for you, because you're not going to be relying on it that much really. So if it goes wrong or it doesn't really, you know, do whatever, great. Honestly, I don't believe in that mentality. I don't like the side hustle thing at all, one little bit. I think if you're going to be successful in business, you have to give it your fucking all. And if you're going to give it your all, don't automatically build yourself a weak position. Like, set yourself up for long-term big success.
All right, I want to push back because like, I just like to push back. I genuinely see loads of opportunity in how fast you could turn this into being an authority, right? Where you go from there, I don't want to argue like, you're right. John's right on all this stuff. I don't like to tell John he's right, by the way. So John's right. However, I would still like maybe it's just shiny object. When I saw that one, when I got the little message on my store, I was like, oh, I should just go look. And I'm looking right now, just like, whoo-wee, keywords, John. Like so much volume. So many different like long tails. The stuff I'm recording for the course right now about collections. Holy shit, we could kill the collections on this one, right? And you're right. I'm probably never going to sell another one of these people, but I am going to sell one, right? There is going to be cash there. And then when I found it for this industry, I found it for another one and another one and another one. Like they're pretty, they're simple to find. Talk me out of it. Talk me out of why I shouldn't just like, you know, partner with two people in our course and be like, we're just going to go crush content and we're going to do this for 10 businesses and throw them up real quick. What would be your advice to talk someone out of that? Given that you understand my skill set, because I can't stop seeing opportunity.
Look, I mean, from your perspective, I mean, let's be real here when you say that. I mean, that might make more sense from your perspective as Ben with 10 years of e-commerce experience and just wanting to churn out a bunch of stores with other people helping you. So you've got a portfolio of stores. You are a unique existence, right? Like, I mean, nobody listening to this podcast is you with your experience aside from me. Literally nobody is that. There is nobody else in the high ticket dropshipping space that has our level of experience that is still doing it hands-on today, right? I'll easily say that, right? And so for you, doing that with other people might make sense. But for everybody who's listening to this podcast, who hasn't, most of which haven't even done it before, like it's just not even a relevant comparison. If you want to go and do it, buddy, go hog wild. Like I say, I think you'd make money. But like I would also say, like, I mean, yeah, you see lots of SEO opportunity in ice machines. Like if you had a store with, you know, 4 or 5 other product categories, like, and this is a B2B space primarily, you would still crush those keywords with a broader store. Like all you would do is just go and focus. Like if you've got 5 product categories and we talk about SEO, you don't go out and do the SEO for all the product categories at once, do you? You go, right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to chew off one of these and I'm just going to go and nail it. Go and nail it. Maybe build a little ice machine content page along the side, a little third party one to funnel a bit of traffic back, you know, do your little parasite SEO and all that sort of shit that you talk about, right? And then move on to the next category on your store and nail that down. So the competition on this stuff, particularly on the B2B stuff, is not going to be significant. So you're going to, I would be willing to bet that you could nail that on a store that was a little bit broader anyway.
Yeah,
maybe not quite as quickly, but I think you still would, right?
I think I just suffer from seeing opportunity everywhere, right? And so this isn't 100% an opportunity, but you're right. If the right student, and we've partnered with some students recently, we've made bets on our students. If the right student came to us and it was like, hey, I actually have that restaurant store. What do you see? Like, I'd be able to spit that out too. And I think where, you know, one of my shortcomings is the, I don't have a big enough team yet. Like, I need a team so that I could just be like, well, here's everything that needs to be done. Go execute it right and, you know, make the right hires and things like that. And so, like, even though I see this opportunity, we say this often, it's simple, not easy, right? Like the process is simple, but there's a lot of work to do to even get there, right? Like you'd have to publish a lot of content, build a lot of collections, talk to a lot of suppliers, answer a lot of phone calls and customer service and all that stuff too. So, you know, I'm seeing things through a keyword lens as I often do and seeing a lot of opportunity there, which is kind of why we brought this idea up for Good Niche, Bad Niche. But, you know, make no doubt about it, there's a lot of work to do. And so if you're going to do that work, why not build it the way John said instead of build, you know, why go 60% of the way and shoot yourself in the foot for the other 40% permanently rather than go 100% of the way and play the long game there to your point, John, and like, you know, have something of value down the road. Because you're right. You know, you could optimize for the ice machines and then optimize for the griddles and then optimize for the God knows what, Margaritaville. I don't even know what would go in a restaurant store, but you're right. Like that would be the path to go. And it's a lot of work, as we've seen, you know, on our own businesses, consulting with people, with partners. There's a lot of work to be done, no matter which path you choose. And so, why not choose the one with, you know, the most long term rewards?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're listening in, and you are that person who's going for the ice machines or the whatever, or the restaurant store or whatever, and you want Ben and John in your business, we do partner with the right people. So reach out to us, support@dropshipbreakthrough.com. Send us a message. We're always happy to chat.
I got one more too. I don't know when this one's coming out, John, but currently as we record this, which I don't think it comes out for a couple of weeks, we're looking for someone to help with video too. If you're listening to this and you're like, hey man, I'd love to have John and Ben's ear in my business. And also like, I'm really good with video. We need someone to help with some video stuff, just some cutting up stuff, some editing, some, I don't even know what the apps are called to cut those up and, you know, add words and visuals and things like that. If that's you and you think you can really help us and it's not just, you know, not just you've dabbled, but like you have some real skill here, reach out, support@dropshipbreakthrough.com. Happy to throw you a test and see what you can do for us. We're certainly in the market for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would just reiterate, no, not dabbling. If you've got a portfolio of work that you've done before, because that's exactly what you're going to get asked for first. Yeah, but there's a opportunity here to work directly with me and Ben at Dropship Breakthrough for sure. Yeah, for the right person, good opportunity.
Where did you land, John? Good niche, bad niche on the ice machines? Come on, show a little love.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, let's answer that question. You know, good niche. Yeah. I mean, if you're excited about the SEO opportunity, then that tends to be a good sign. And I think, like I said, I mean, I wouldn't do it by itself. I would do it with some other things.
I'll share it real quick, man.
Yeah.
Look at these. These price points are great. I don't know if it moves Windows with me. Of course, it doesn't when I change Windows. I've got a bunch of tabs out here of all the keywords that I found, and like they're all in that that beautiful price point. There are some lower things, to be honest, but you know, there's 90,000 volume on ice machines. You know, you look over here, countertop ice machines are like 60,000. The industrials are a little further. Commercials at like 8,000. Just there is a lot of there's a lot of gold here. So. You know, I don't know if I would I would give it a full thumbs up based on the thesis I came into this podcast with, but you know, I'm with you. I think there's opportunity in this category.
I gotta be honest, like a B2B, almost any B2B idea that I see is like a thumbs up for me at the moment. Like the opportunities there tend to be like amazing. Like people send me in ideas all the time, and every time I see a B2B one, I'm just like, oh, well, I haven't even thought about that before. That sounds wild to me. You go and look at it. It looks good. Very low competition, great price points, good opportunities for repeat business, like I mentioned. Yeah, definitely thumbs up.
I have seen a few. I don't want to call out any names, but I've seen a few recently that was like, oh, I've never thought of that. And like, holy cow, this looks really interesting. And you're right. I think they were all B2B off the top of my head. And we've mentioned a few before. I was just logging in. I own shopcommercialrestrooms.com. I think that's a wonderful B2B space. There's a few other, I'll got quite a few domains in here, so we won't go too deep, but I've mentioned that one before. So you're right, man. I think B2B is a huge opportunity, not only in the SEO, just like, I just think it's underserved as compared to, you know, serving retail buyers who want, you know, passion stuff. B2B is a different form of passion, right? They're passionate about growing their business and they need you. So, I don't know. If you guys have ideas, throw them in the comments. We're always looking for new good niche, bad niche ideas. We're happy to throw them in here into the sequence. You might've seen we've gone back to 3 days a week. So we got some stuff to fill. If you want to hear an episode or you have a niche you want to fill, chuck it in the comments here. If you're on YouTube or on Spotify, or send us an email like you heard, and we're happy to do your niche next. Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business. John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business. Not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business, we're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for The Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out The Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.